ومن يعدل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله هو وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهله وأشهده أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate and the Merciful, truly praise is due to Allah alone. We praise Him, we seek Him, and we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we put our trust in Him. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and our wrong actions, and whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whosoever He leads astray, there is no one to guide him. And we bear witness that there is no deity but Allah one without a partner, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His worshiper and messenger. Blessings of Allah and peace be upon him and his family and companions. قَالَ لِلَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ الْمُبِينِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا لِلَّهِ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنتُم مُّسْلِمُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّهَا مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً ۚ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ ۚ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah, praise be to Him, said in His clear book, O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as you should, as He should be feared, and do not die, say that you are Muslims. And O people, fear your Lord that created you from one from the other, and made His mate from the twain, spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another and other towards the wounds which became. Truly Allah is watcher over all of you. Alhamdulillah. الذي جعل يوم الجمعة سيد عيني ونعبد ونستعينه واللعية وهو الذي فرض الصلاة الجمعة بالقول تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذكر الله. O you who have attained to faith, praise be to Allah who on the day of made this day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship, we do not seek aid of other than He who made the congregational worship obligatory for us, as witness in the saying of the Most High, O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call from the Salah on the day of congregation, make haste to the remembrance of Allah and leave your training. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idhanudiya lis-salati min yawmi al-jum'ati fastaghfirullaha. المؤمنون المخلصين هم والذين آمنوا وتآمنوا وقلوبهم ذكر الله الله ذكر الله تعالى من الله تتآمنوا القلوب والقلوب. The sincere believers are those who have believed and whose hearts find rest in remembrance of Allah, for truly in the remembrance of Allah the hearts find their rest. The Holy Quran, Allah reveals to us, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بِسُنٍّ شَدِيدٍ وَمَنْفِعٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ لَهُ مَنْ يَنْشُرُهُ وَلِرُسُلِهِ بِالْغَيْبِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَيُّ نَزِيرٌ. Surely we sent our messengers with clear proofs, and we sent down that with them a book and a balance so that the people might uphold justice. And we sent down iron in which there is a great might and many uses for the people, and so that Allah might know those who defend Him and His messengers, though He be unseen. Truly Allah is strong. Allah is strong and mighty. And also, in relation to this ayat of Mizan, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. He said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إلا لنعلم من يتابع الرسول من معنيا قريب إلا أكيباي إن كان هذا كبيرة إلا على الذين هدى لله ومن كان لله ليدي إمامكم إن الله بالناس لرفوه رحيم. He said, and thus we made you a community of the center. That you might testify against the people and that the messenger might testify against you. And we did not make a change in the direction in which you faced, except to know who followed the messenger, from who turned here to his guidance. And it was not a difficult test, except for those who Allah has guided, and Allah would not permit that your faith be in vain. Truly Allah is the gentle and the bestower of mercy to the people. This image of Allah and the messengers is very important for us today, because we live at a time of ignorance, we live at a time of arrogance, and we live at a time of extremes. And one could say, wheresoever you look, there is a countenance of arrogance and extremes blocking the countenance of Allah. And we don't see in the world around us that people have respect, consequently we see the opposite. They think that they're creating everything anew, or that they are, and that they themselves are the solutions or the solver of problems, even if they think that. Well, mostly people act like sheep, being moved here and there at the whims of people who want power and who have greed and lack of concern for the human well-being. And when one turns on the news, whether this morning or last night, or I assure you tonight or tomorrow morning, we'll become very distressed over the arrogance that we see, the ignorance we see, the hostility we see, how human beings can feel among all this that we can't have any right to reach across the world and influence the governments or the political ideology of other people is astounding. Or how to be an example of governance is humiliating. If one calls two people of other cultures and ideologies have a sense of what is right and what is wrong, not having any understanding necessarily of our culture or the way we approach human beings. The subject today, then, is again the subject of harmony and mizah, an implication to enjoin us and to inspire us to think what is real, what truly is equality or equity or balance. Hadal means equal. It's derived from the same word as adl, which also means something equal or bound in part. We live in a world that is not balanced and not equal, where there is a tremendous amount of inequity. And the concept of equality and equity is a quality that most, more than most, distinguishes human beings from another. The capabilities of one human being from another, the quality of one human being from another, not just consciousness, but how people are balanced and equal. And the potential of certain human beings to distinguish themselves from other living things and from other human beings is often based, therefore, in harmony and balance. This concept of equality and balance is sort of the criteria or the standard of excellence at which we could hope to operate, the standard which represents the house of nobility of humankind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us in the Quran, in every facet of our existence, in every aspect of our human existence, being equal or living in equity and in balance and in harmony is considered a sign of excellence, of virtue. And when things are equal, then we can achieve that balance or near equal. And whether it is equity in terms of material things or in legal terminology or moral and ethical values or justice, it's very important that equality and equity implies a balance
as we've heard in the Quran today. And especially as we now are in the past the center of the middle of Shabbat, which we need to spend some time tonight thinking about, as we approach Ramadan, as we approach the significance of Ramadan, and I join you to everyone to review your papers. Don't wait, just don't fast. Prepare yourselves. We have an opportunity to reflect. And when we look at the physical human nature and look at our physical bodies, we see that the health of a human body lies in the balance of its constitution with its nature. And this is what will enable us to fast or not fast in the month of Ramadan. Our constitution means also our temperament. Our physical makeup is balanced with the world outside of us and the nature outside of us and how we exist and how we coexist in our environment. Is it a coexistence that will be healthful and balanced? Any disturbance between our balance and our temperament and our constitution against the backdrop of the physical world, you know, it speaks of many difficulties, dis-ease and disease, or lack of ease, lack of harmony, lack of balance, lack of equity, lack of physical, moral, ethical balance and justice. So it's no wonder that today we still haven't found the cure to many diseases that we could have. That's no wonder that we rely on material, strictly the most gross materialistic means for healing instead of the more subtle ones. It's no wonder that we see the fear of global plagues in front of us, because we are not around the world people who are seeking balance and harmony and thereby infusing everything we do, our principles, our systems, our research, our development, this concept. When we're looking at ethics or spirituality, the same concept of tadal is operating. Instead of being physical health, we're talking about spiritual health. A state of imbalance is called spiritual bankruptcy, not just material bankruptcy as we see in the world today, or spiritual corruption, not just the kind of corruption we see prevalent in our society and other societies. And also in the sense that, you know, impure things corrupt the body. Impure food corrupts the body. Lack of standards in providing food stuff for people. If you leave things out in the wrong environment, in an environment that it's not best for it, if we take butter or we take the milk and we leave it out in the heat of the day, it's going to go bad. If we put ourselves in the wrong environment, we get bad. We get diseased. We get corrupted. And so it comes from a lack of understanding, a lack of values, a lack of equity, a lack of ethical balance, a lack of moral balance. And the arrogance that rises up in the human being is like the corruption of food. The bacteria comes. And then it affects the whole environment, the whole body. The environment of power we see in the world around us today, in our country, the enormous power we have that causes corruption at the highest levels. We find that there are shadow governments that are being revealed, and not even so much shadow crusades, overt crusades that are being waged again. If you remember the news of last week, what was revealed in the news of last week, just in our own country, crusade of one company of what do you call the mercenaries is waging in Iraq against Muslims. The concept is always that there's an enemy that has to be taken care of, or killed, or. But behind that is this desire to keep a mentality of corruption and disruption, of inequity and imbalance, of greed and of power, and of course to coach it in the mantle of religion. Aside from that, we get this attitude of moral superiority that comes along with it. So there are many cultural and religious aspects to this, but you have to understand that different cultures look at balance in different ways. And if some of the imbalances are not caught in time, it's very hard to rectify those imbalances, just like disease that's not dealt with in time becomes deeply organic problems. Something acute becomes chronic, and chronic becomes organic. The superficial problems become diseases, and these become lead to some kind of spiritual, moral, and ethical decay and demise. So the essential basis of human beings is not the physical body, not the tissues, not the flesh, but the spiritual and moral and ethical excellence and perfection that made us able to master the physical world. But without a correlative balance in the physical world, we can't have the former. It won't last. Jalaluddin Rumi described the state of these in these words. He said, humanity is not flesh and bones and skin. It is nothing but pleasure of the Almighty Allah. And that's why those who do not value their own excellence, that means those who are not humbled by their own humanity, those who do not see the tremendous responsibility they have by the potential, those who are not placed in awe of the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned to them, those who do not see their own ability and see that they must have take the higher road ethically and not be revengeful or avengeful or cause disruption all over the world. Those who do not see the relevancy of their own health and well-being or the health and the well-being of others, as this I wish it was a dialogue, this battle going on in this country today, in this over health care. Those who don't see the importance of balance lose the essence that Mevlana refers to in these words. He says, these you are looking at are the reverse of humanity, for they are not humans, but they only have the cover of humans. And it's embarrassing when you walk. The news. And it's embarrassing when you meet these people to hear what they have to say. As if they are sincere, that's very frightening. And if they're not sincere, that's very disturbing. But they speak as if they're sincere, but their intention is to disrupt. And if we go around the world or force our way into making inequities, then who are we? We're not human beings. We're animals under the guise of human beings. How many people walk around with the external cover of humanity or of religion and has a physical body and all the verbiage, but they themselves are not really humans? Or what people are doing around the world in Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and Darfur, and China, and in the United States, and other places, it's not human behavior or humane behavior. And they don't understand the real spiritual realm. They do not understand at all the purpose of life, to be balanced. Not to gain territory, hegemony, and power, and make what appears to be security while relieving people of their rights and forcing upon them narrow ideologies, relieving them of their wealth and forcing poverty upon them, relieving them of their health. And though it can be said that the health of the spirit is the balance or the tadal of the soul and its ethics, the soul and its inner practices, only the person who combines the spiritual and the mental, the physical, in a way that maintains balance, which is a constant process, continuing process, just as all life is a dynamic, continuing process, can be called really a perfect being. Not even that. Just a real human being. So it is this perfection or this realism that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all the prophets and the messengers. Just as doctors look at the health of the physical body, or should, so do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his messengers to look at the health of our spiritual bodies and our spiritual beings, which are going to long outlast our physical body, and to bring us to the spiritual medicines that cure us of the spiritual ills. Indeed, this is the overlap into the cultural realms too, which is distinguished by cultures in their way of looking at things. But if you are anxious to take your vitamins every day, or get your acupuncture treatments every day, or ride up to Charlottesville to get some herbal remedies and things from Dr. Chang, or wherever you may want to go, if you're anxious to take, to watch your diet and watch what you're exposed to in the environment, the physical environment, because you're so concerned about your physical body, what about the spiritual remedy? What about the spiritual remedies? What about the spiritual doctor? What about the checkup that should come every day? Because the soul needs a checkup every day. And people get up every morning and they, you know, some people, they take their pulse. Some people take their blood sugar. So they're diabetic. Some people take other measurements of their health and well-being. We have tools to measure our spiritual being. We can't just forget about that. Not sit in meditation, not do the prayer, not do the recitations, not pray for the people who are ill, not ask a repentable Allah, not ask Allah to forgive others, not forgive others yourself. You can't do that. It makes you ill. And if you don't believe it makes you ill, have the courage to look at your own attitudes. Have the courage to look at your own soul. Have the courage to listen to your own words. All of us. How do you know you're ill? You have a fever. You have a cough. You have a little cold like I have. Your stomach doesn't feel right. You have a headache. Can't breathe too well. A little allergy. Pain here, pain there. A disease, even. Something that has to be repaired. I mean, you know. Are you diagnosing your spiritual state? Are you trying to find harmony and balance in your spiritual life? Are you so obsessed with the physical? Or the material, in the sense of people are so obsessed with the power in the material world, they pay no attention to anything else. Or they're so obsessed with their own physical state and physical body, they pay no attention to their soul. Look at yourself. Stand in the mirror. Is this who you want to be? Is this what you want to look like? Is this what you feel is consistent with your image of yourself and your potential? In the physical world, we do it every day. Some people don't stand in front of the mirror for precisely that reason. You have to stand in front of the mirror of spirituality, of balance, the Quran, in the presence of the shield, of the shaykh, presence of the brothers and sisters. How do you do that? You can do that. You'll hide out in your home. Or you can invite someone in for dinner and for lunch and for breakfast and to sit and to meditate or to talk or to listen to a discourse or just to have good conversation about what is necessary in the life and in the community and in development. And your soul will be mirrored. Or you can invite somebody over and just complain about your knee or your arm or your weight or your heart or your breathing or your allergy or your sensitivity or your food or whatever. Or just have a social time. Because we can't assume that our way of looking at everything is right. And it's all too easy for someone else to say, you know, you're thinking this, you're saying this, did you say this is this and this and this and this and this. But we don't point to ourselves. That stupid old thing we used to be told when we were children. You point your finger at somebody, remember you have three fingers pointing back at you. But it's smart. Remember that? The teaching that the Anbiya brought, the teaching of the Shuyukh, can be balanced in each one of our lives. No one in this world can look at their way of being only right. We're not made exactly the same way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that if He had wanted to make us one community, He would have made it that way. But He decided not to do that so we could come to know one another and to respect one another and to honor one another. And we can say, as He tells us, and to forgive one another and be tolerant of one another and support one another. And the main message of the messenger, the main objective of the prophets, all the prophets, especially of Muhammad ﷺ, was to create a state of moral, practical, ethical, physical equilibrium, balance, mizan. And if you have that, then what do you have as a nation? You have a nation of the center, of the middle, the middle nation, a people of balance, of systems, and of values, and of education and health, that to be adjusted and redirected and looked at and evaluated against what? Against values. So there can be a balance between the ethical, moral aspects of the physical aspects of life, between the spiritual and the material. Of course, there's no one way changes take place. Sometimes one has to do things to the extreme at times. There are times when one has to back off from the extremes and find a balance. And now is the time to do that. There's no question about that. We're left without any doubts if one cares to look. If you care to be brave enough to look at your own state, your own physical state, how do you balance your mental and your physical and your emotional and your spiritual state? The messenger is sent with the Torah. The messenger is sent with the Injil. The messenger is sent with the Psalms. The messenger is sent with the Quran. The divine message is to establish a basis of spiritual and physical balance. Not just for individuals, but all people, for all nations. And the message of Islam is a universal message, not just by the fact that there are Muslims everywhere, but rather there are Muslims everywhere because there is a universal message. In fact, it is the balance that is the sign of a healthy nature. When we find that balance just as the signs of a healthy person, we can tell. You can eat anything. You can sleep anywhere. You can bend down and pick up something. You can walk among many people and speak many languages, literally or figuratively. And when we look at the nations today, in our nation, we see that there is not a healthy balance. A lot of unhealthy people, obese people, starving people, healthy people, sick people, killing people. And within the nations there are disagreements. And that's all right, disagreements, but not the kind we're having today. If you turn on the news and you hear people in this ignorance, people who are over 65 on Medicare saying they want an end to government health care. You want to hit them in the head. Kind of silliness is that? Sheep being led to slaughter by the insurance companies, the corporations, and the politicians. There'll never be peace without understanding, without balance. And the view is so narrow, so selfish, so immature. But it's the reality. And we see there's not a proper balance of mental health and social health, let alone the physical health in this world. And we see that the relationship between countries are disrupted when their populations are kept in ignorance. And there's no economy that supports true global understanding and global cooperation. People who follow the Prophet ﷺ, or the people of the middle nation, the Ummah al-Wasa. And it's the case that it is the nation raised on the principle of harmony and balance, and therefore there are exceptions that are assigned to the people of the middle way. Where are these people of the middle way? We have to be there. I'm glad to see that there are movements against wars. I'm glad to see there are movements against more nuclear proliferation, and there's more movement toward nuclear disarmament. And I'm glad to see that there are concerns for the health of nations. But when it comes down to the effective methodologies, it takes people of spirit people of humility, people who have taqwa, to carry it through. Where is the mentality of understanding? Where is the mentality of negotiation, of mediation? Where is the mentality of compromise and cooperation, of respect? Allah says, thus we have made a community and ummah justly balanced. Well, it's unbalanced right now. Not just the ummah of Islam, especially, we have to be attentive to that, but all the people. Those who we created are people who direct each other with the truth and with justice. Let's find them. Let's find them. Because we can assume that the people who guide others through truth and justice must know what the truth and the justice is. You might find truth and justice there if you're looking for it. There's no more truth to that in which a Muslim acts in the world today than there is truth in the fact that the Jews considered themselves the only chosen people. That's not right. That's not right. It's picking and choosing about what you're choosing. I remember going to a little side story, going to a bat mitzvah that Rabbi Jack Moline was giving in Washington, a memorial service for my nephew. And the bat mitzvah girl raised the question of sacrifice. And why are the Jews not making sacrifice? Well, we make sacrifice in Ramadan and Eid. Why the Korban? Why there's no more Korban in Judaism? Okay. And Jack went into a very, very good explanation about choosing things and that part and religion is dynamic. And that it changes, and the times change, and therefore the choices change. And some things are abrogated after time. Well, maybe the chosen people ought to be abrogated after time also. Maybe we're all chosen people. Seems to me, in a globalized world, everybody seems to be able to live in relative peace and understanding among each other. Why it's okay to stop sacrificing, but it's not okay to give up the idea of this is my land, I get to kick you off it. Not only that, I get to kill you to kick you off it. It's not fair. It's not reasonable. It's not right. And then by extension, what are the reasons we wage war? So, not because the Quran says you are the best of people doesn't mean that we are the best of people either. Means you have created you to be the best of people. But you're not going to be the best of people unless you act in a way that makes you the best. And if you want to be the chosen people, then you have to ask yourself, why have we been chosen? What are the values? What are the morality? What's the ethic of the chosen people? And if we don't live it, we're not chosen. So we have to understand that we have to draw the curtain over ourselves and we have to examine ourselves, you know, and find out our own balance, our own mizan. And Prophet said, the very object of the religion of Islam is to wish well to all people. Well, wherever Muslims are not wishing well to other Muslims, like in Iran, or other places in the world, or where Muslims are not wishing well to other people, non-Muslims, they've lost the object of the religion. So it means that in every possible way, we should be the benefactors. We should be the example. We should be the beneficent people. Because we have this teaching. We can talk about what's wrong very easily. What you prefer. I wish you did this. I wish you did that. I wish you said this. I wish you said that. I wish you would remember this. I wish you remember that. Why didn't you want it? We all do this. But we don't look to ourselves. And if there's a duty for a nation, there's a duty for a community. If there's a duty for a community, there's a duty for a people. And a duty for people is a duty for me as an individual. whether we're looking at health or environmental issues or ecological balance or understanding and education or rights and justice, rule of law, or civil liberties and civil society, or all need to be balanced. Some people understand that. Some people understand. We got an inquiry just yesterday. 2 days ago. We got an inquiry for our work saying there are these young people in the Middle East, I won't mention the country, who are so wealthy they can't transition into normal society. They're so wealthy. And they're so pampered. They have no sense of other people's cultures, other people's values, that I have no sense of the world. Would you help us? Would you join us in retraining them and training them for the future? They called us. Very, very, very good, famous group of people called us to do this. Very important work. The next day, we get another call from about a Saudi program. Similar about values and training. Some people are realizing in the Muslim world that there need to be people who can make transition. And who are they calling? They're calling us. Alhamdulillah. Because we have proven that people can live in harmony together. They can work in harmony together. They can have differences. They can have their culture. They can have their religious differences. But we share common values. And people are recognizing us and calling upon us. We have to call upon Allah. But what does it mean they're calling upon us when you and I don't do a health evaluation of our soul every day, but we'll do a health evaluation of our body every 5 minutes? What does that mean? What does that mean when we let food rot in our gardens? When we don't participate in that chain of events that takes place just 200 feet from here? What does that mean? This one. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ansurna finaka khayru nasirin. Wasfirlana finaka khayru fatihin. Wakfirlana finaka khayru gafirin. Warhamna finaka khayru rahimin. Warzukhna finaka khayru razikin. Wahdina najina min adham al-zalimin. Wahablana rihan tayabatin kama hiya fil ilmika wanshurna ilayna min tazain hirrahmatika wa ahmilna biha hamla حمل كرماتي ما سلماتي ما أخياتي في الدنيا والدنيا وآخرة إنك على كل شيء كبير. اللهم يسر لنا أمرنا محارتتي وقلوبنا لأبادنا والسلماتي والأخياتي في الدنيا والدنيا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كاشيا ونسألك علما نافيا ونسألك دينا قائما ونسألك عافية من كل بلية ونسألك تمام العافية ونسألك دوام عافية ونسألك شكر الله العافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. Allah, succor us, for you're the best to aid us and open us, and you're the best at opening, and forgive us, for you're the best forgiver, and show us your mercy because you're merciful, and provide for us because you're the best of providers, and guide us and deliver us from the hands of all oppressors, and grant us a fair wind in accord with your knowledge wafted upon us from the treasure of your mercy. Transport us by it on the conveyance of your generosity with peace and with well-being in our spiritual life and in our worldly life and in the final life. Truly, you are the power over all things. Oh Allah, make the order easy for us and with serenity in our hearts and our bodies and peace and well-being in our worldly lives and spiritual lives. We beseech you for the faith that is everlasting, and we beseech you for a submissive heart, and we beseech you for knowledge that is beneficial, and for a certainty that is beneficial and genuine, and well-being that is free from other from affliction, and for your complete well-being, and we beseech you for continual well-being and thankfulness for that well-being. Allahumma, wasfir wujunaha bin nuri sifatik. وأذار بشيرنا يوم القيامة بين أولياك وأولياك وجعل يدك مبسوطة إلينا وأحسن ومن معنا برحمتك وكن لصاحبا وفي سفرنا وكلفت في أحسن وتمس على وجه عيدنا وانساك ما ذكرتهم يلا يستعون المدي الله ومنشي الله علينا يعني مال مجيب يعني مال مجيب يا نمر وجيب. Oh Allah, there are many people who we know who are ill. We ask you especially whether those in our community have health and well-being, and for others in this world to have health and well-being. We thank you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the opportunity you gave us all summer to serve the young people and their teachers and the staff here. From all over the world, we are very grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you made this a peaceful place and a safe, secure place, and you kept them among pious people. We ask you, Allah, to give them safety in their journeys and returning journeys home to Europe and to Asia and to other parts of the world. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us as a reward for this the opportunity to continue to serve you. الحمد لله ونمره ونستعنه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتعالى عليه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى مكارم المكارمين وعلى الصالحين وجاهدين في الدين برحمته يا رحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المبين من الله وملكاته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم وارد وسياتنا كل أخي راشدين أبي بخرين وصديقي وعمار وفخري وعثمان ونرائن وعلى سيدنا الإمام علي كرم لله وجه وارد اللهم على سيدنا الحسن وعلى سيدنا الحسين وعن أمهما سيدتي فاطمة وزهرة وعن أهل البيت وكرام أزواجي ونبيتك وطهراتي وماتي ومطهرين وعن صحاباتي والصالحين وتابعين وتابعيهم بعبادي المخلصين لإسلامين وإمامين وإحسانين ويوم الدين بدلا إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى ينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وذكر الله أكبر وأكمل الصلاة.